Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Finger pointing won't get you many places in the world of sports. And if this NBA playoffs, if you're a star player looking around to blame somebody else on the team, you're going to have to look pretty hard because it is a lot of men out on an island as we get ready to continue into the NBA's conference finals. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. here with you guys. Jhené Egwumike going to be joining us at 5 o'clock, as she always does, coming off of practice. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got some great ones today. Bobby Marks, our NBA front office insider, going to join us in a little bit to get us ready, not only for Game 2 in the Western Conference Finals, but also the NBA's draft lottery going on tonight in Chicago. We'll talk to Mark Jones, get ready for the upcoming broadcast, as well as the Suns get set to take on the Los Angeles Clippers. In Game 2 of that series. We'll talk a lot in a second about who's going to be available for that series and how much this is going to help us forecast the rest of the postseason. We'll also get to talk to NFL Hall of Famer Warren Moon in a little bit. Warren Moon tweeted out his congratulations and his support for Carl Nassib, the Las Vegas Raiders defensive end who has been the story in the NFL here for the last few for the last day or so. Really, this news broke when we were on air yesterday. Carl Nassib, the Las Vegas Raiders sixth-year defensive end, announcing that he was coming out, as a gay man in a league that made him the first active NFL player to be openly gay. And there has been a lot of reason to celebrate this occurrence that some people didn't quite grasp going into this. And so we're excited to talk to Warren about his experience being in a locker room with players who were not yet comfortable enough, who didn't believe the NFL was a space that was ready to accept an openly gay man. And so I think there's a lot of good that comes from having this conversation. Some of that good highlighted by Carl himself. So we can get to all of that here coming up in just a little bit. Packed show today. Very excited. But we also got the NBA's Western Conference Finals on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Game 2 as the Suns host the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And Game 1 of this series was incredible. Devin Booker's first career triple-double in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals for the Phoenix Suns. And it felt like all was right in the world because it was a very well-contested game. Paul George balling out for the Clippers, as he's been able to do. But as we get to this point now in the conference finals on both sides, I keep looking around, and as I do hits on other stations and talk to people about this, you look around at the landscape of the playoffs and you realize that, like the rest of it, we could probably determine the likely champion by who's going to be the most or least injured through all of this, right? Because as we get ready for Game 2 tonight, I'm inclined, as we sit now, as much as I have had criticism of Mike Budenholzer, the Bucks, Giannis, and some of his game's limitations, they look like the easy favorites right now because they're just the healthiest. Like, look around at the game we're getting ready to play tonight between these two teams. On one side, we know Kawhi Leonard not going to be ready to go for the Clippers in Game 2. His status is still up in the air. And you look on the other side for Phoenix, as great as it was to see Devin Booker continue to make this ascent, it was his first career triple-double. It was uncommon output in this game. How much can we count on that being the norm, especially knowing the importance we've assigned to Chris Paul? Here was Adrian Wojnarowski. This is where it gets interesting. On the timetable for CP3's return to play, our ESPN NBA insider had this to say.
There's still no certainty whether Chris Paul will be back for Game 2 of this series, but I'm told that there's optimism that his return is going to be sooner than later in this series, and that if it's not Game 2 in Phoenix, you know, there's optimism it could be as soon as Game 3 in Los Angeles, but he's certainly expected to be back in the earlier part of these Western Conference Finals than later. And so we'll find out more about whether that can be in Game 2, but the Suns know that Chris Paul is on his way back in this series.
Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. And so it's been a really cryptic process around Chris Paul, right? Which invites a lot of thoughts here that I'm not sure we're ready to share. But the fact is, now that we have Woj saying they're hopeful Game 3 can be something they circle on the calendar, you would think, all right, cause for excitement and celebration for the Suns, forgetting that Chris Paul was dealing with a shoulder injury that was the reason in large part we doubted whether they could pull off the what felt like odds-wise was an upset in the first round against the Lakers. And so how is this series look? Can Devin Booker buoy them through these first couple of games? Because on the other side, what we're dealing with is a much grimmer looking outlook for Kawhi Leonard that's dealing with ACL difficulty in a knee and on a player that's already had so many issues that lead to load management for him. And so again, I could look and say, yeah, you know what? The Suns probably could rightly be favored in this series. And I think right now, if you'd ask me to pick it, I think based on what we saw, game one's a good proxy. This could and should be close. Marcus Morris being out is going to be a bigger deal than one would have expected if we were talking about this two rounds ago. But I thought Magic Johnson put it the best and most succinctly. Basketball Hall of Famer was on First Take yesterday. I don't know if you heard, Magic Johnson was on a few shows around ESPN yesterday. And he said flat out what this series appears to come down to. For all the complexities in sports, it can sometimes be as simple as one side is going to miss their guy more than the other side. Here was Magic.
So I think the Clippers need Kawhi, and Kawhi probably wants to play and redeem himself, just like we're seeing Paul George stepping up because of what happened last season. So I would say Kawhi needs to be back more for this series than Chris Paul with the Phoenix Suns.
And you can say that in a legacy sense. You can say that in a very literal sense on the floor. Because on the other side, we know Paul George has done a lot to rebrand his postseason style of basketball here. And I think that semifinal performance went a long way in that. But again, you look around the rest of this roster, and again, we're just gauging health relative to everybody else. One side can expect their star back perhaps in game three, according to Woj. The other side, it is a lot more cryptic what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. And so if I look at the Clippers and I say, we're not sure if or when we're going to get Kawhi Leonard back. And hell, if he's missing time like this, it's not like Chris Paul being in the COVID protocol, where we know the shoulder had been an issue, but that's not what's keeping him out right now. What's keeping him out right now is the COVID-19 protocol. So yeah, maybe you can talk about wind, maybe you can talk about conditioning, but the bottom line is it's not a re-aggravation of that injury. For Kawhi Leonard, we all saw him pull up lame at the end of the last series, what Paul George was able to do and carry him through. But if Kawhi comes back, it's not going to be anywhere close to 100% on that, and it's much more recent. You couple that with Marcus Morris, that's getting ready to be a game time decision, that only played a handful of minutes in the second half of game one, and the Suns look like they absolutely should win this series. I would probably say, if we got to call it right now after one, which is kind of a cheap cop out, Suns in six feels like a nice sweet spot in this series. But when you look overall at the big picture of the playoffs here, Milwaukee is rolling after getting past the Death Star that had a few cracks in the armor. An imperfect Brooklyn Nets team because of injury that allowed Mike Budenholzer, who still feels like he's on the cusp of losing his job, and Giannis, who's had to beat off some very, very real postseason demons through the first couple of rounds, now look around and say, you know what? We're probably going to be the healthiest team left. Even through the finals, this is the best opportunity for not only Bud to save his job, but for Giannis to go ahead and silence a lot of the critics by going and pushing through this situation. Now, again, Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals is on ESPN Radio. Coverage is starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern tonight on radio, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. We've got no Chris Paul, we've got no Kawhi Leonard, and we've got a Suns 1-0 lead to kickstart the party. But coming up next, the world of college football also took center stage yesterday, and I've had a lot of people feeling the reverberations after the Supreme Court rules in favor of the players suing the NCAA, suing them for limiting the academic money that they could receive under their scholarship, limiting the resources that they could be given. Why this is much more far-reaching as we look off into the future, and what your college football is actually going to look like, not in 10 years, but in the next couple. We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The more things change, college football continuing to push towards the idea and implementation of a 12-team playoff. Name, image, and likeness bills getting ready to go into action in some states starting July 1st. And Monday, a Supreme Court ruling continuing to push the bounds on what athletes are owed. But it keeps coming back to one question. Every time I talk to people about these issues around college athletics, about the changing things around college sports, I get asked one question. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Because every time this comes down, this stuff is complicated, man. Like, even for me, I got to sit for a while. Nicole Arbach from The Athletic, who we talked to yesterday, who is infinity times smarter than I am and spends way more time around this, says, exactly what every college football writer has been thinking through all of this. Yeah, we got into this business to make our time and summer schedules around Senate hearings and Supreme Court rulings. Like, obviously, that's why no one got in this game. But the reason I enjoy covering college sports, the reason I especially enjoy covering college football, a sport that I played for 5 years, is because I know what these players have been through, and I know what players who didn't come from the means that I did have been through, gone through on this. I've seen it, I've covered it, I've lived next to it. And so it's something near and dear. And so I always said, no matter what goes on at this job, I want to keep the players first, because I think that's what they deserve. Because in this whole system built up around it, all the things that we love, way too often they get forgotten and not treated like people. And so I tried to keep that at the center of all these things. But I know it's different for everyone involved. And so as all this change keeps coming up, the number one question I get asked by every person that I talk to, by every radio station that I do a hit for, is this going to change the way my favorite things looks? Like college athletics in general, whether it's the basketball tournaments in the spring, whether it's football season in the fall, or anything in between. What we just saw from women's softball all over ESPN, what's going on in the college baseball World Series right now. All of these things come down to, are these changes going to affect the product that I see? And the biggest thing that I can tell people who always see these advancements as a threat, who see players making more money than they do in these spots because they have a different skill set, who see the talk of not having enough, who see all of the weight rooms, the academic things that they are offered to help offset them coming to campus behind some of their peers. All of it seen as they're getting more. Why? Really boils down to, I'm worried it's going to change my experience as a viewer, is more often than not where this comes back to me. And all I can say is, guys, I think people are really trying to overstate every time something like this happens, the effect it's going to have on the actual product here. Like someone said this to me today, and I said, you realize we have proof, right? That if you pay the labor that's in the middle of these processes, it can work out. Like, we all sit around on Saturday and sit, and I watch college football like all the rest of you. And then I sit around on Sunday and I watch the NFL, where everyone's paid a lot of money, and we seem to still enjoy it an awful lot in the process. It seems weird that we ignore that in this entire thing. Because don't get me wrong, what happened on Monday? Chinay Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. What happened on Monday with the Supreme Court ruling that colleges can no longer put an arbitrary cap on the money, the means, the goods tied to academic purposes, whether it is extra materials like laptops for classes or postgraduate scholarship opportunities for pursuing things in that field. You can't put a limit on those things anymore. But the standard that would set goes beyond that. And Jay Billis, as usual, our great ESPN college basketball analyst and knower of most things college business related, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and talked about what this really means for players going forward.
They're going to get the benefit now of increased benefits having to do with education that are quote unquote tethered to education. It doesn't mean that the floodgates are going to be open to name, image, and likeness or pay, but that's coming. What the Supreme Court basically said is, if you apply our reasoning here for educational benefits to name, image, and likeness, or to frankly to pay, how is the NCAA going to justify its position on that? They're not going to be able to do it, or at least they don't see a way that they can do it. And they're not going to get that sort of presumption that their rules are pro-competitive. They're going to have to prove that they're not anti-competitive, and they're going to have a difficult time doing it, and I don't think they can. And look, Justice Kavanaugh wrote something that I think a lot of us have been saying for a long time. If you applied this to any other industry, it would be per se illegal and struck down immediately.
Chinay Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., and Jay Billis is right. This is the march down a path. This is a march down a path that could lead to something like pay-for-play being a reality, because he said they pointed square at the identity of college athletics, the student-athlete moniker that the NCAA created so that they wouldn't have to pay out to athletes. It pointed at the middle of that and said, yeah, no, this isn't going to last much longer for you guys. We don't trust what you're selling the public here. But that doesn't mean that it's going to affect the way that people enjoy the game. And I feel like if we accept that, then people can understand why I'm always banging on the table for athletes' rights. Because, yes, it might be messy. And I don't say that as a negative connotation. I say it as a reality. That the idea of money coming into sports to people who aren't used to having it at this time in their lives. Not saying young people, but saying college athletes haven't been used to getting the bag like this all the way across above the table. And so, yeah, that's going to come with some difficulties, just like the transfer portal is going to come with some difficult lessons that have to get learned along the way. But when we hit that equilibrium, when we get used to this enough, what's going to end up happening is we're going to wind up back where we always were, having a highly competitive product that's not quite as good as the NFL's, but it's surrounded by all the same pageantry that everyone knows and loves in these scenarios. And so that's why I'm always trying to calm people down. Like, it's not going to ruin it. The other thing that Justice Kavanaugh said that I thought illustrated a point that I've been trying to make for so long, as well as anyone has, and it went back to some of the examples he used in other industries. You never walk into a restaurant and say, you know what? You know what would make this meal better? If the five-star chef in the back was paid less. Were my joy or the thing I derive from this? No, you would say, man, I count on the quality of this even more because I know he is highly paid because he has earned what he's got by being great at his craft. And that's all people are saying is, hey, these guys are great at what they do. These players in college, these men and women are great at what they do. And at the highest levels, if everyone else is getting paid off of it, then it seems to reason that you could pay them off of it and it still wouldn't suffer. It would be a reward for high quality. That's what this all goes back to. No one's asking for handouts of the same. They're asking to be paid accordance to their worth. And that worth still leads you back to the same thing. If you're a fan and you're not like me who lived through it and wants the best for all these guys and wants the best for all these men and women and just wants your thing to not go and be changed, I can assure you that while it may look and feel a little different for a while, you're going to show up on Saturday, you're going to see the band, you're going to see all the people out there in the tailgate lot, and you're going to see the same colors and uniforms on the field. Will some of the things that get us there look a little different? Yes, but ultimately, the product is going to be what it's always been, and I think that's something we probably need to realize more and more. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN is where you can get a hold of us if you disagree with me at any point during this show, which I don't know why you'd want to do that. But coming up next, we'll head back to the NBA and try and figure out if there is enough left to save with Ben Simmons and who needs and has the most to gain coming up in the draft lottery later tonight. We'll do that after this word from Indeed. Now, the good news, guys, the good news here is your business has doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason why Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. Back with Bobby Marks after this on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh, buddy. Guys, we're going to have another conversation. Dan Orlovsky went back on Twitter, our ESPN NFL analyst, and started giving out food takes again. And it's bad. It's real bad this time. So lift our friend Dan Orlovsky up in prayer right now. He's fine. His taste buds are just all the way backwards. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. here with you guys. Chinay Agumake going to be joining us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. And we got a lot to get into, certainly with what's coming up tonight, Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. We know the Hawks and the Bucks are going to kick off the Eastern Conference Finals in the next couple of days. But we still have the post-mortem that's going on with the Philadelphia 76ers, and we've had so much conversation around what Ben Simmons is right now and what people think he still can be in the NBA. But I thought this was interesting from Stephen A. Smith, co-host of First Take earlier today, talking about Ben Simmons and a text message he received about one of the 76ers stars. Here it is.
I just received a text from somebody very, very close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. This is a quote. This is not me. This is them. Quote, he doesn't work. He doesn't listen. And everyone around him is family. And he's constantly babied.
Yeah, that's
the word
that's credible,
out
isn't
about
it?
Ben Simmons.
And that received not one, but two very quizzical hmms from Molly and Max. So it must be something very legitimate. And so for more on this, Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider, joins us now. And Bobby, before we get to his future, what is the general viewpoint of Ben Simmons around the league? I know you heard that comment there, but from the people you talk to, from what you've seen, what's the viewpoint on Ben Simmons as he currently sits?
Well, I mean, I think the viewpoint is that he has just finished, what is this, year five? I know he was out his rookie year, but year five. And there has not been any progress on the offensive end. So this is not a rookie or a second-year player, and we're talking about spending an offseason from a developmental standpoint. This is a player who's an all-star and is going into year six and was exposed mightily in that Atlanta series here. So if that doesn't humble you, Mike, I don't know what will humble him as far as going forward. And it's a critical offseason for Ben. And I think we're all intrigued as far as if there's going to be anything different than what we saw in game seven in the Atlanta series compared to what we're going to see when we get going again in October, early November.
And I know between that time, Doc Rivers was saying that he's talked to Ben, he's laid out a plan. You listen to him and Daryl Morey, and they're trying to kind of do damage control right now, saying they believe that they can fix this. But Bobby, from your perspective, from what you would have dealt with in the front office, what do the conversations start to look like? How long do you give a player of Ben Simmons' caliber before you start bringing up the T-word, trade conversations with someone who's owed the kind of money he is?
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably are starting to have that that internal conversation. I think it's a lot different than where it was a year ago, where he was basically untouchable. You know, he's got 4 years, $147 million left on his contract. So I don't think you're out there shopping him right now, because he's probably, 50 cents on the dollar as far as what you can get back. I think you've got to restore his value somehow, because the last impression is of him in game seven in this Atlanta series. So, they can talk all they want. I mean, is it going to change as far as what Ben Simmons is going to be on the court?
That seems to be the real question hanging in the balance for everyone here. Chene Angola Jr. talking to our ESPN NBA front office insider, Bobby Marks, with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bobby, looking at the big picture of the playoffs, injury has been the story dominating so far, and it continues into tonight. No Kawhi Leonard still. Chris Paul out in the injury protocol here. As you look around for this, is this maybe the best chance to save a guy like Mike Budenholzer's job for the Milwaukee Bucks, because they seem to look around and say, we're the only team that's truly healthy at this point in the season, and the rest of these teams just try and get guys back on the court in one piece, hopefully.
It's amazing how things change, Mike. I mean, you know, I had written their offseason article ready to go if they had lost to Brooklyn, and the big section was on Mike and as far as what his future was going to be based off losing in a second round, and how that organization's got to reevaluate, even though he's won 71% of his games, but had never, had failures the last, as I guess we can call it failures the last 3 years. And now they're in a conference finals. Their big three are healthy. And this is as good of an opportunity that they will have with this group as constructed, just based on, we think Brooklyn will eventually get healthy down the road. We'll see what happens with Boston, Miami, some of these other teams that will get healthy again. Philadelphia certainly is going to be back in the conversation. So if it's not now, I don't know when it is. I mean, you've got home court. If they play like they did in game six and parts of, game seven, and are playing through Giannis down low, they will get out of the Eastern Conference here. And I do believe just getting out of that Brooklyn series should be enough to save Coach Budenholzer's job.
The team he's going to be facing across from them, the Atlanta Hawks, who have ridden the Trae Young star wave through this postseason so far. And one of the ways we know Trae Young, part of his game, has been drawing fouls. The NBA mulling some rule changes this offseason that could prevent players like Trae Young, players like James Harden, from hunting fouls in the future. How much do you think that affects the game of a young player? Maybe not as much James Harden, who's so established, but Trae Young, as he is really starting to make this push to see the way the league officiates these players change as drastically as it could with these rules?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting as far as, does it change anything from what he works on in the offseason, especially him and Harden are kind of known for that. There's plenty of video out there that shows it. I mean, even if you watch the game tomorrow night, I think their style of play stays the same, and I think it's going to be up to the officials to make the adjustments. I mean, there's already so many rules out there, and it's The game is so fast-paced already that it's going to make it a little bit difficult for the officials here as far as what's going to be a foul and what's not going to be a foul, as far as, certainly within their shooting motion.
Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Bobby, in addition to that portion of the offseason, we got the NBA draft lottery coming up tonight. I think the only thing that most of us know is that Sam Presti essentially owns the first round from now until the time that I have grandkids. So heading into tonight, what's the biggest thing you're keeping an eye on here that could start to swing the balance in some of these offseason conversations?
Yeah, I think I'm interested as far as the Minnesota pick, right? I mean, it's right now Golden State has it at 6. If Minnesota finishes in the top 3, they retain it. So now you add, you know, a top 3 pick and a loaded draft with Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. I think that's somewhat of appealing. I think, yeah, certainly the doomsday scenario, if you're Houston, right, you're sitting at number 1, and if you fall to 5, then that pick goes to, that pick goes to Oklahoma City, and now you've got the 18th pick. So you can go from 1 to 18 in a split second here, and that is that's pretty drastic here. So I think it's those teams that don't control their picks, but can, you know, potentially maybe jump up in that top 3, top 4.
It's amazing to think about the mood in a draft war room and how it could particularly change if you're talking about a 1 to 18 drop. But that's on the line tonight as we get ready for the NBA's draft lottery. Bobby, we appreciate the time and the insight into all of this. Enjoy the rest of the postseason. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
That's our NBA front office insider at BobbyMarks42 on Twitter is where you can follow him. Coming up next, though, let's head to Major League Baseball and check out how the first day on the mound as umpires around the Major League begin inspecting for the sticky stuff here. Did anyone get popped along the way? What did we learn about how this is going to be officiated? That's all coming up next. Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 is where you can watch and listen to Jhené Golic Jr. I guess you'd have to watch it on ESPN Plus, but you guys know that by now because you're smart and you're kind, and I love you. How's that for some energy on a Tuesday around here on this show? And you know what? I need that to offset the disappointment I've gotten one of my friends right now, because I know, and we will get to some updates from Major League Baseball yesterday. I think a very telling stat that we've already seen that'll calm everyone down when it comes to the sticky stuff. We'll hear from Jacob deGrom on that in just a minute, but we got to take a moment here and really try and help out one of our friends around here, because you guys love Dan Orlovsky just like we do, our ESPN NFL analyst. He was a great former quarterback in the NFL and at UConn around Connecticut when I was growing up. And I love Dan. He's an awesome guy. He's a great teammate. We love having him on this show. But every once in a while, he just wakes up and decides that he wants to be the story on Twitter for a given day when he tweets stuff like this. Quote from Dan Orlovsky: potato chips are gross. Tortilla chips are everything. And if you scoop salsa instead of dipping, you're gross. You scoop queso and guacamole.
Hell no.
I don't know who hurt Dan so much. Like, because I look at Dan and I see a lot of myself, right? Like, we both grew up in Connecticut, both played our high school football there, both went on to play college football. Like, we were exposed to a lot of the same things along our journey of life. And that's why I don't understand. Like, I get that Dan was also a skinny quarterback and that I was a big fat lineman, and that you know, the things that get you from that one place to the other can certainly be very different at times. But man, I didn't realize that being skinny meant that you had to ignore taste. Like, I feel like I know enough skinny people of taste to know that that's not necessarily the way that you've got to live right now. I saw Dan Orlovsky talking to Mina Kimes that apparently he's never had a lot of Korean food either, so Mina is going to open his light to just so, like, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we take Dan Orlovsky to a place that serves real food with flavor. I would pay pay-per-view prices to see the joy in that man's face when he realizes the way the rest of us been living for so long, right? Like, don't get me wrong. I waited till late in life to try a lot of interesting things. Like, I had not had yogurt until my early 20s. I had never had a salad until I was 23 and it was on an airplane. Like, I have committed some sins as well, but those were at least in the name of avoiding things that are healthy for me. Like, I want Dan to walk over on the dark side and try some of the flavor stuff with us here and know that he can enjoy. Yeah, listen, it might come at the risk and expense of our health at some points, but that's what balance is for. Namaste and such. Like, we can help save Dan Orlovsky. Yes. And we plan on doing that here. We can do this because Dan is our friend. Dan is someone we care about, and you look out for your teammates. Long time ago, I heard the phrase, take care of the people that take care of you. And so if you see Dan out in public right now, offer him something to eat with some flavor on it here. Help him see God's saving light on this issue. Janae Engelhardt Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Let's get to our weekend MLB recap. It's brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money, progress starts here. And we know that change started yesterday in Major League Baseball. The umpires, for the first time, will be going out and sticky stuff on mounds near you. Boy, it sounds weird when you say anything around this conversation. Like, there's no comfortable way to talk about it. I gotta start calling it spider tack. If I call it the sticky stuff, I'm not gonna be able to get through this segment. Here was Jacob DeGrom, the first pitcher, the Mets pitcher, was the first pitcher in Major League Baseball yesterday because of when they started playing to be inspected by the umpires. Here was his take on his interaction with the umpire as they searched him for the sticky stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what the impact's going to be, but I said, you know, what all do you guys need? Glove, hat, and belt, they said. So I handed them that stuff and then went along my way.
All right, so there we go. Now, him undoing the belt was a little weird for everybody here. The umpires came out and said they weren't going to strip search anybody, so that makes a lot of sense. But again, what this all comes down to is we've heard complaints from the pitchers about this is going to affect us, this is going to affect the way we pitch in a way that could get people hurt during the course of this change. We also wondered, I did on the other side, all right, these pitchers have been so used to this, to up the spin rate, to have a measure of control on the baseball, how is this going to change that? And I thought that this was very interesting. Chicago Cubs manager David Ross, former major league catcher, was talked about in this and asked about batters having to deal with this more, worry about this more in the box. And his quote was, so the information so far in the last 10 days, batting average has gone up, on base has gone up, slugging percentage has gone up, spin rates are down, fastballs, breaking balls, and hit by pitches are exactly the same, so draw your own conclusions. And really, when it comes down to that is, yes, I agree Major League Baseball should have made this more of a conversation with pitchers proactively instead of looking at this and saying, all right, well, we got to worry totally about the product here. Hitters aren't hitting enough. People like offense in these leagues, and so we got to give them what they want in here. If it comes at the compromise of some of these pitchers' health and safety, as someone who played sports at a high level, I'm always going to have a bit of an issue with that. But I thought Jeff Passan summed this up pretty well. MLB pitchers had to get scared straight, and it seems like it's working right now.
In between innings, you're going to have pitchers who are essentially being frisked. It's going to be like TSA. Mm. And the idea that they're going to catch guys with foreign substances on them, it's going to be interesting to see just how realistic that is, because honestly, I think guys have been scared straight already. Since June 3rd, when Major League Baseball let it out that this was going to be something they were going to be enforcing, this rule on the books that they already have, pitchers understood you have a very limited amount of time to get clean. And it's not like they can use anything, because any foreign substance at this point is going to lead to a 10-game suspension.
And that's the one thing, Janae Engelhardt Jr., that you've heard managers reinforcing to their pitchers, is if you get popped for this, we don't get to replace you on the roster. And that's the accountability to everyone else now, right? Everyone seemed to know that this was going on. Everyone understood that this was a part of the game. Hell, even the hitters did. And they kind of knew what the deal was here. And now that it's changed, the accountability comes with, all right, you're going to be affecting all of us. This isn't like going out and hitting guys with pitches where they suspend and give the token suspension to players with no teeth so that nothing gets done. Major League Baseball, and we should remember this the next time we have that conversation about players going out and intentionally hitting guys who decide to pimp home runs or flip their bats or whatever they want to do, that Major League Baseball can show up with teeth on issues that they actually want to see pushed out of the game. And to remind you that players getting hit by 100-mile-an-hour fastballs is not something that Major League Baseball yet cares enough about to actually push out of the game in a meaningful way. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN is where you can get a hold of us on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up next, we will get Chinua Achebe back and try and figure out, not only can Paul George do this for the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, but can Ty Lue do it without LeBron James here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.